St. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, as we have been reading these past 4 weeks, today being sermon number 5 in our series on prayer, entitled Conversations with God. St. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Please follow along with me. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The word of the Lord. I would like to begin a sermon today by talking about forms of praying. As you know, prayer involves speaking to God, our Father, and that takes many different forms. We often, and probably most often, pray silently, and our thoughts are cast Godward or heavenward to God. Regarding the manner in which we pray, we can also pray alone, or we can pray as a part of a group, a congregation. We can pray by ourselves and pray single or personal prayers, and we also can pray congregational or corporate prayers, as we often do. We know we can pray in a chapel or a temple or a church. Prayer is regularly conducted in the halls of Congress and in the White House here in America. We can pray in a park. We can pray in our cars, our homes, at work, at school, in the hospital, in funeral parlors. We often pray at weddings. Here, we would always pray at a wedding. Baptisms, we pray a separate prayer over the candidates, and even as a part of our worship. We pray during memorial services or funeral services, some would call it. We pray in or during civic and even public ceremonies. We pray over the telephone. We pray over the internet. Prayer is offered over television and over the many different mediums of communication, social media. Our prayers can be a song of adoration or praise, according to Colossians 3:16. Prayers can often be given extemporaneously, or they can be prepared ahead of time. They can be written. Prayers can be long, sometimes too long. Prayers can be short. We can pray standing. We can pray kneeling. We can be seated. We can be lying down. Pray however you're comfortable talking to God, and sometimes our circumstances dictate how we would pray. As a reminder from last week concerning recognizing the voice of God, I quoted Andrew Womack, who said, "It's never the Lord who is not speaking, but it is always us who is not listening." should serve as a reminder also that prayer is not a monologue, but prayer should be, in its best context, a dialogue where we speak, but also the Lord speaks. I should say, however, that at one setting, it may not always be the case, and maybe most of the time, it's not the case where we speak and then the Lord speaks. The Lord may speak to us over time, and as we'll learn today, even through circumstances, the Lord will reveal His will to us. Throughout time, all of recorded time, God has spoken to people in a variety of ways. One of the ways I'd like to share with you this morning, and maybe you've thought of this and maybe you haven't, but I'll say it just the same. God speaks to us through the gifts and talents that God gives to us. This is one way we know what God's intentions for us are, relating particularly to our career or work choices. God has given all of us gifts and skills and talents. In giving you or me a passion for a certain type of work, this is one way that God is communicating to us that God intends for us to make certain career or vocational choices. Work that may bring satisfaction and a sense of accomplishment and purpose in our lives. And this is huge in our society, particularly since there are so many people who work not for satisfaction and wages, but merely for wages. We also, of course, hear the voice of God through the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, who serves, among other things, as our guide. The Holy Spirit guides us. Jesus said of God, the Holy Spirit, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into the truth. St. John 16:13. So we hear the voice of God through the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, who guides us. Another way that we hear the voice of God, and this should be pretty obvious, that is hearing, reading, or listening to the Word of God. How deficient we are in hearing from God when we neglect to read God's Word. It's a message that's sent intentionally and directly to all of us. It's important because God has said it. The psalmist says in the 119th Psalm, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So if we don't acknowledge God's word, what is lighting our path? And what is the lamp for our feet? So the conclusion in this particular point is rather obvious. If you want to hear from God, read the Bible, God's Word. Some people will ask, does God speak to us audibly today? And certainly that's not impossible, because nothing is impossible with God. But I rather doubt that God does that routinely, especially since there are a variety of ways God is already speaking to us through the work of the Holy Spirit and His Word. In addition to speaking through God's Word and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I would like to say that we also hear God speaking through life circumstances. And this is where we depend upon our spirituality. Being spiritually minded, paying attention to what God is doing, what God is saying to us, even through life circumstances. Life circumstances can let us know certain things about God's sovereign will for us, particularly in that moment or time or season in your life. The 11th chapter, the example of Joseph, the 11th son of 12 sons of Jacob and Rachel, Most of us probably know that Joseph was beaten by his brothers. He was stripped. He was buried. He was left for dead. And he was sold. But he rose to become the second in command in Egypt. And became the head of food distribution at a particular time when all the nations, neighboring nations around, were experiencing famine. It was Joseph to whom they had to go see for relief. God knew the gifts that Joseph had, and he performed them flawlessly in Egypt. And God used Joseph to prepare Egypt, a constant enemy of Israel, to save a multitude of Israelites during their famine. I'm certain that Joseph wondered many times during his experience of being removed from his homeland, sold, beaten, stripped of his clothing, buried in a deep hole from which they thought he would never escape, but would fall prey to a wild animal and be devoured. I'm certain that many occasions Joseph wondered why God allowed such a thing, and what good can become of me being stripped of my clothing? What good would it do for me to be beaten and ostracized by my brothers? How can I be of help to my parents when they're becoming aged and I'm now removed from their presence, their company, or even having access to them? In the mind of God all along, God knew what he would do for Joseph and what he would do for his people. While Joseph was being exalted for his faithfulness, his brothers were being brought down or humbled. And finally, in summation of this particular event in the Bible, the Bible says this, that what they meant, that means his wicked acting brothers, what they meant for evil, God meant for good in Genesis chapter 50. Rather than complaining in prayer about our circumstances, why not in prayer do we seek to see God's ultimate purposes in these circumstances? So God speaks to us in our circumstances. Another way in which God speaks to us is in our thoughts. Yes, God does work through our minds. Hopefully that's not a strange concept. God formulates the strategies that we are able to conjure. He gives us plans and makes known to us God's ways of getting certain things accomplished. Who gives us that intuition and the ability to strategize and plan? It's God. In this sense, our thoughts are God's thoughts because God gave them to us. God planted them in our minds and hearts. We hear many people from a variety of fields, physicians and entertainers, and pop country and jazz musicians, all giving praise to God for helping them through a difficult surgery or helping them act in a play or a movie, write or sing or play a song. It all comes from God because God is at work in our thoughts. I'll give you a short list, if I can, a very short list of Christians, believers who have accomplished so much to the praise and glory of God. Gregor Mendel, for example, a Roman Catholic and an Augustinian abbot, founded the science of genetics. Bernhard Riemann, born a Lutheran or son of a Lutheran pastor and a devout Christian who died reciting the Lord's Prayer. He transformed geometry, providing the foundation of Einstein's theory of general relativity. Isaac Newton, passionate dissenting Protestant who spent more time in Bible study than math and physics, profoundly changed Our understanding of nature with his law of universal gravitation and his laws of motion. George Washington Carver, Protestant evangelist and Bible class leader whose faith in Jesus was the mechanism through which he carried out his scientific work, improved the agricultural economy of the United States by promoting nitrogen and providing peanuts as an alternative crop to cotton to prevent soil deprivation. And finally, the last example will be Florence Nightingale, an avid Anglican who believed God spoke to her, calling her to her work, and transformed nursery to a respectable, highly trained profession, and used statistics to analyze wider health outcomes and advocated sanitary reforms, largely credited with adding 20 years to life expectancy between 1871 and 1935. Yes, God speaks through our thoughts, our minds. Another way in which God speaks to us is that God speaks through other people. God can and does speak through other people. We draw great encouragement from others. But let me say that God also speaks more directly about many different matters. Well, about the example of Lot, who had lost his way, was living in Sodom, a place that had a very sordid reputation, and a place that God would then warn he would bring judgment upon. Upon his own accord, Lot didn't leave Sodom, but his uncle Abram, whom he had sojourned with from the Ur of Chaldees, Abraham goes and speaks a word to Lot. God speaks to him, telling him he should leave Sodom before there's judgment. God speaks through a multitude of ministers, counselors, other seasoned Christians, mature Christians, those who have active and avid prayer lives and read and consult God's word. People regularly seek counsel or advice from all of these persons, desiring to know the voice of God at certain times in their lives. Here's an example. The loss of a job may cause one to seek other employment or career opportunities, or see their present circumstances as a perfect time to finish one's education or prepare for a better position when the opportunity presents itself, or seek a different, more satisfying profession. God indeed does speak through circumstances. I'd like to ask, are you paying attention to what God is saying through your circumstances? There's a few things we need to know about the voice of God. When God is speaking to you, you cannot ignore him. When God is truly speaking to you, you cannot ignore him. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, a young lad by the name of Samuel was lying upon his bed. Samuel's mother, Hannah, had committed him to God from his conception and promised throughout his life she would be a constant reminder to Samuel that he belongs to God. Lying upon his bed one night, Samuel hears a voice calling him, "Samuel, Samuel." He gets up and he thinks it's someone else calling him. The prophet tells him to go back to sleep. A little while later, he hears the voice again, "Samuel, Samuel." And again, he gets up. "Are you calling me?" "No. Lay back down." A third time, he hears that voice, "Samuel, Samuel." This time he gets up, and when he goes to the prophet, he's told, "It's not me." The next time you hear that voice, say this, "Here I am, Lord." The call of God in this example of Samuel was persistent and it was distinct. Samuel knew someone was calling him. And with the aid of the prophet, his mentor, he was able to come to understand that it was God who was indeed calling him. His hand was upon his life. Samuel was being called to service. My second example is one who is called to salvation. And it's just as dramatic. Saul of Tarsus in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. A voice, thunderous voice, comes to him. A bright light shines about him, so luminous that it blinds him, and he falls to the ground and temporarily loses his sight. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" By this example, Saul had some inclination as to who it was by his response. "Who are you, Lord?" Again, the voice of God is persistent. The voice of God is precise. And in both cases, a person's name is used when God is calling them. There are many other examples in Scripture when God calls or speaks to people, even audibly, primarily in the Old Testament. Abraham, for example. "Abraham, go out from the land of your relatives and from the house of your father and go to the land that I will show you," in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. "Jacob, Jacob," God sent to Jacob, "arise, go to Bethel and dwell there," in Genesis 35. "Moses, go and return to Egypt, because all the men have died who were seeking your life," in Exodus chapter 4. And let me conclude this portion of my sermon by saying, when God is speaking to you, you will not have any peace until you respond. You will have no peace until you respond. If the Lord has to turn your world upside down to get your attention, the Lord will not stop until he has gotten your attention. You will have no peace until you respond. And when it's God calling and telling you to do something, I need to tell you, God has already made the way for you. You don't have to be fearful that wherever God is leading you, it's going to be a dead end. Where the Spirit guides, he will provide. I want to tell you a personal story about the persistency of the Lord's call. I was raised Christian, a certain persuasion, very passionate about serving the Lord. I loved reading and studying God's word from my youth. I was a young man. I had a very good job. I was blessed to be able to purchase my first home at a very young age. Made very good money. But while I was going to work, When I would get there, there became a spirit of, or a feeling of dissatisfaction. That there was something the Lord wanted me to do. And over time, the Lord began to impress upon me that I needed to study His Word deeper. And because of the religious or persuasion that I was a part of, the church that I was a part of, I didn't have a very broad perspective of God's Word. I was very myopic in my understanding of Scripture and the doctrines that I had adhered to. The Lord placed in my heart a desire to study His Word and to do that from a distance, a different place. I wanted the Lord to move me, in other words. I wanted to be able to study and not be influenced by those who would be close around me. So I wanted to go someplace else. And it became an insatiable desire to study God's Word. And every day I would go into work, and this was the burden that was on my heart. It was nearly a year and a half that this persistency in my heart and spirit, unrelenting. And finally, one day, out of the clear blue sky, I got a telephone call asking me if I would consider relocating to help establish a new church. I knew very quickly this was the work of God through intermediaries. I consulted my pastor, of course. I had prayed and continued to pray. I got a plane ticket and went and visited the two places where they told me were equal opportunities. You choose where you want to go. I chose the place where I felt God wanted me to be, where I could be more effective. And the first thing that I did after I made that decision and we relocated was enroll in Bible school. God used those circumstances to make it possible for me to do what He had been preparing within my heart to do. You will have no peace until you respond to the voice of the Lord. Let me say that in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, of course, and His work serves as God's voice. We hear God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit as well as through the Word of God. And now we have the recorded voice of God. And it is the Bible. All that God intended us to hear is in His Word. His Word is what tells us about the character of God and God's intention for us. And as we know and believe, there's no new Bibles being written, no new books of the Bible being added. The canon is closed. God has spoken. Question is, will we listen? We know God is speaking. So my last question is, do we hear the voice of God? Here is assurance that God indeed is speaking and that we can hear and should hear. John 8:47 says, whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear is that you are not of God. So every Christian hears the voice of God. What are we doing with what we're hearing? God does speak to His sheep. The Bible tells us so. Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Jeremiah 33:3. In the New Testament, the shepherds sheep will hear, according to John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. We know God is speaking. Are we listening to God? God is leading. Are we following? Let's pray.